May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building, the calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today.
One of the great gifts of the New Testament is we have a two-volume work there. Luke, of course, wrote his gospel and then continued to write another book, the book of the Acts, to talk about the growth and wonders of the early church. It's a kind of novel as well as a kind of history, theology being woven in both of those ideas. So today we read Acts 16 about Paul's, the beginning of his ministry. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained there in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira, and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul, and when she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I often find that reading a more inclusive translation of Scripture to be helpful for a fresh understanding of the ancient word, as long as it remains faithful to its original intent. The church has canonized patriarchal language, which causes us to lose the many and diverse images and names that are indeed found in Scripture. I gave thought to how this text might be more opened up, but on further reflection, I decided to leave it as it is and instead say this. Jesus calling God Father or Abba, which might more be closely translated as Daddy, is an expression of an intimate relationship. In fact, they are bound together. What is important in this name is their relatedness, how they are connected, not their gender. The relatedness is central to the Christian story. It could have been mother or mama. It need not dictate your image of or your relationship with God. He Hear now a reading from the Gospel according to John. Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now, I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I have been to two graduations in the past week. Such occasions are filled with joy for the accomplishment of a degree and hope for the future, shiny and open with lots of possibility. We need these young human beings as they come into leadership. We are living in a deeply wounded world. And as I watch and read the news, I despair the ongoing repetition of sinful behavior that further plummets God's beautiful creation into muck and mire. Our love of violence and hatred has not abated. The sin of racism runs deep, and we are failing at ending it. We continue to divide people into others from whom we can separate ourselves. We ravage the earth without concern for the future. We fail to see reasonable precautions during a pandemic as caring for our neighbor. Where is there hope? I mean the deep down faithful hope that sustains us in the awfulness. I mean the deep down faithful hope that is rock bottom and holds us up. Well, we are, after all, in the season of Easter. This is the sixth Sunday of Easter. And isn't it interesting that the gospel readings for Eastertide are Jesus's farewell words to the disciples? His after-dinner speech is so long that we spread it out over several Sundays. Jesus was preparing the disciples to carry on without him. Imagine how the disciples might have felt. They joined a movement within Judaism that was exciting and held some freshness and possibilities that ignited their imaginations. They gave up livelihoods and left their families in order to follow in this new way. And now he was going to die? What would they do? It's possible that's what they were thinking. When John's gospel was written late in the first century, tensions were high, and the faith communities were getting discouraged. They were struggling with what it meant to be followers of Jesus without Jesus. For John's gospel, it was much more than going on without a leader. How Jesus was God incarnate, God in the flesh. So how then could this late first community be encouraged to not give up hope, not give up faith, and press on? Well, friends, this passage is busting out all over with hope. So let's unpack it a little. Jesus said to his friends, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my God will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." We, Jesus and God, we will come to them, and our home is with them. In church, we hear words like dwell, abide, live with. Jesus says, "You belong with us, and you belong together, and we will make home with you as you do what we have taught." When we love God, God makes home in us. We are God's home for others. Then Jesus said, "Get ready. Get ready. The advocate, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit is coming after I leave. The advocate will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you." Phew, you know, at my advancing age, I am really glad to have reminders. I have reminders to wake me up in the morning, and the same reminder tells me it's time to go to bed at night. My calendar reminds me of all the appointments I have entered. I get reminded to pay my rent and my bills. I have all kinds of reminders to keep me on track for the things that I have decided are important. Where is the attentiveness to the reminders of the Holy Spirit? One place is in worship. In worship, we remember anew the teachings of Jesus, and we remember again how God has been active and moving throughout history, even to this present moment. Last Sunday, we celebrated the sacrament of baptism. One of the words that Pastor Molly used in that ritual was remember. And she pointed to the stained glass window, the piece about Jesus' baptism, and said, "Remember how Jesus was baptized." And then in the thanksgiving over the water, we remembered God's many acts of salvation through water. Baptism is an act of remembering, and it is an act of belonging, being at home. An act of membering, becoming a member of the body of Christ. We remember whose home we are. Monthly, we celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion, and in that ritual, we do a thanksgiving over the elements where we remember the redemptive acts of God throughout history, even into this very present moment. We pray in that great thanksgiving that the Holy Spirit will come and abide with us as we partake in the bread and the juice so that we can live out Jesus' teachings undergirded by the movement and the reminding of the Holy Spirit. All of this theology is found in our gospel reading today. God loves us, made known to us through Jesus. We love God in return. And if we love God, we do what Jesus taught us to do, which, in summary, is to love our neighbor. The Spirit reminds us to do it, to act. If we love God, then we embody God's love. We do God's love. It's not a mushy feeling. It's a way of living and being and doing. People sometimes wish they could live in the time of Jesus, wish they could have heard him tell stories, wish they could have felt his presence. Father James Martin, speaking about this text, pointed out that while Jesus was alive, he could only be in one place at a time and only with a few particular people at a time. With the coming of the Holy Spirit, everyone gets the wholeness and fullness of the Spirit at the same time. Everyone has access to the presence of God in the Holy Spirit. The idea of the Spirit can feel amorphous to us, certainly not as tangible as a living, breathing person. But the root word for spirit, the Hebrew word ruha, is breath, which is certainly necessary for life. What we need is to be attentive to how the Spirit is speaking to each of us through one another. The Spirit works in community and gives us life, breathes life into our corporate being. Yes, each one of us can feel the prompting of the Spirit, but the power is felt in community when we share it with one another and therefore confirm it. Recently, I had two separate experiences of getting a nudge that I thought, could that be the Spirit moving me in a certain way? But I wasn't sure, so I decided to kind of wait and see. And then I discovered another person also had that same nudging. And that happened twice in just 2 or 3 weeks. And that's when I know, that's when I feel fairly certain the Spirit's moving among us. And it's time for us to act. It's time for us to move ahead with this nudge. It's truly the wisdom of God for us to experience community together. We are created to be in communion with one another. And as much as I wearied, and I did weary, of all the church meetings over 40 years of pastoral ministry, I also had to admit that very often the work of the Spirit was confirmed and acted on in just those settings. All of us can help that happen by expecting and looking for the Spirit's prodding in such settings. So rather than dreading that meeting or that gathering, let us come looking for what the Spirit is going to be up to next. The reading from Acts is a case study of the early church responding to the Spirit after Jesus. A woman named Lydia was already the head of her household. Worship was being conducted. She was a leader. Paul preached. She responded with quick action, bringing along her household, her house church. All were baptized and sent out to do God's love. Now just remember, just because there are a few misunderstood passages that state women should be silent, it doesn't mean they were. The Spirit moved anyhow. In her stunning book, She Who Is, Elizabeth Johnson discusses how we have neglected the Spirit and raises the question, is it because in Hebrew the word is feminine, she? Do we fear her wisdom? Johnson writes this: what is most baffling about forgetfulness of the Spirit is that what is being neglected is nothing less than the mystery of God's personal engagement with the world in its history of love and disaster. Nothing less than God's empowering presence, dialectically active within the world in the beginning, throughout history, and to the end, calling forth the praxis of life and freedom. Forgetting the Spirit is not ignoring a faceless, shadowy, third hypostasis, but the mystery of God. Closer to us than we are to ourselves, drawing near and passing by in quickening, liberating compassion. Close quote. Jesus offers his disciples and offers us peace. But this is different than the world's peace. Jesus is not referring to the absence of conflict. Jesus is not talking about merely tolerating one another. Jesus speaks of shalom, the highest flourishing of everyone in the community. The highest flourishing of everyone in the community. What is it that brings the most well-being to everyone? Well, that just takes us right back to Jesus' teachings. Let me just run through a few themes that we find consistently in Jesus' words. Love the little ones. Love the forgotten. Love the stranger and offer hospitality. Love the foreigner and offer rest. Heal the sick. Bring in the marginalized. Bring down the mighty and empower the weak. The first shall be last and the last first. Love of money will lead to ruin. Give away all you have so everyone will have enough. Empty yourselves if you desire to be full. God's unlimited grace is for all without exception. Some greatest hits, and there are more. These are just little reminders. And these stories have sent us as a faith community to care for the homeless, many of you through PATH, to care for students at UCLA through 580 Cafe, to care for immigrants being cared for through the Echo Park United Methodist Church, to care about gun reform, and to care about wage equity, and to do the work of anti-racism. These are acts of love sprung from Jesus' teachings and our love for God, made known in the world. In this season of resurrection and also of pandemic and growing inequity and estrangement, what is the Spirit prompting this community of faith to do in order to express the love of God made known in Jesus Christ? How will Los Angeles learn about God's love from us? Will they find God's home in us? What if, before meetings and classes, we share together where we have experienced God or the Spirit's prompting in the past week? Could such a simple sharing help us be more attentive to the Spirit, who, I am quite sure, is continually trying to get our attention? Before you go to bed at night, write down where you felt the nudge of the Spirit during the day. And over time, observe if that small act helps you to be more aware of the Spirit in the moment. These acts of attentiveness can open up our hearts to notice more the faint rustle of wind, of breath, stirring in our hearts and our minds, to be those who love God out loud with hearts and minds and voices and fullness of spirit, When we give ourselves to enacting God's love, we do experience the peace of Jesus Christ. Amen.